Amen. It's so good to see you. I'm glad to be back this morning. Had to do some of that quarantining last week. My daughter had gotten sick with COVID, and we'd spent a lot of time with her. And doctor's advice, we said, okay, we'll pull back and do the smart thing. But man, I missed being here. But I was thankful to be able to watch online. I'm telling you. When you're on vacation, when you're away or what have you. And I'm just thankful for the media team. Why don't you just let the media team know how much you appreciate them today. I mean, we oftentimes recognize our worship team and others, but I just really appreciate our media team and what they mean for us. Able to get the gospel out. I was hearing from one of our church members the other day. They were asking about something about the links and making it everything work right. And they were sharing how that they share our service with a group of believers in Africa every week. Isn't that pretty cool? Yeah, so that we're reaching people literally around the world, and we're thankful for that. Well, before I jump into my message today, I want to just share with you the next great big opportunity for us to invite folks to come and to experience. How many of you just appreciate what we just experienced here today? How many of you think there might be some more people who would want to experience Jesus in the presence of the Holy Spirit? How many of you think that there might be some people who need to experience the power of Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit, that can change and transform their lives? Maybe some of those are your friends and your family members or people that you do business with. I don't know, your neighbor. But we want to give you another great opportunity to invite people to come to Spirit Life Church, because I think every week's a great opportunity to invite people to Spirit Life Church. But this coming September, 4 weeks from today, September the 12th, we are going to be launching a new sermon series called Your Story. It's the takeoff of Toy Story, and it's going to be big. I mean, really big. I've been challenging our staff to think big, to let's just go beyond what we've been doing. We've been doing these big event days now for a while, two or three a year, and you've been really great at inviting friends, and we've been seeing folks get saved on those days. They're always fun days because we got a lot of exciting stuff going on. The stage is all decorated, the foyer's all decorated, there's inflatables for the kids, the lawnmowers pulling trains around for the kids to ride on, and just lots of, you know, lemonade, whatever it is, just things that we're doing to try to make it just a great fun day for the unchurched. For people who don't normally go to church, to say, okay, I'll try that. And here's what I was challenging my staff with. I said, you know, I think to some degree we do those days, we do them real good, and then we invite our friends to come back the next week, and they're looking around going, where's the train, you know? Where's the lemonade? I thought this was a cool church, and this looks like just a regular. So we're going to do this not just one day. We're going to do this 4 Sundays in a row. We're going to do a whole sermon series on Toy Story for 4 weeks. We're pulling out all the stops. We're going to have all the fun, the stage is going to be, how many of you seen Toy Story? Like just about everybody in the room, right? And so we understand that in Toy Story, it's these little figures that are what, 12 inches tall, who are, you know, they're the main characters, and they live in this bedroom where everything, if you're only 12 inches tall, a bed looks really big to you when you're only 12 inches tall. So we're going to have a big bed on the platform. We've got one. It's 18 foot tall. And I'm thinking, I think we can get it on our stage. We've got a nightstand that's over 10 foot tall with a 5 foot tall lamp to go on. That's over 15 foot tall. I hope that thing doesn't fall off. You know, somebody could get hurt, right? I mean, you could live under this stuff. And so, but we're going big. And when I say we're going big, we're going big. But we need you to help us in that. We need you to go big with us. And so we want you to invite your friends, invite your family, get involved. There's signups over here to my left, but before you leave, I want everybody to go by the table and sign up and say, well, maybe you're thinking, well, I can't commit to 4 weeks. Well, commit to as much as you can. I'd love for you to commit to 4 weeks. But if you can commit to three, commit to three. But find a place where you can serve. And then when you came in, you found some cards on your desk. It would be cards like this. is a prayer card, and then there's some smaller cards that I don't have one in my hand right now, but those are invite cards. We want you to take those and give them to your friend. I want you to think about this as a sample pack. You ever have got a sample pack of something? Is, you know, try it out. If you like it, we can give you more. This is a sample pack. You know, there's like three or four cards there. If you need more, we'll get you more cards, okay? And so invite your friends. Now listen, again, we want you to pray about who the Lord wants you to invite. And then we want you to write those names down and begin to pray over these cards every day for the next month. And we as a staff are committing to you. In fact, that's what we say on the back of this. Your promise is you'll pray every day for those on the list. You'll invite them to come to your story at Spirit Life. And here's the cool thing about it. Some of you are like, well, I've invited them to come and they didn't come. They always had something else that was going on or what have you. Well, hey, you can say, that's cool, that's fine. Come next week, because we're going to still be going on the next week. Oh, you can't come now? We'll come back the next week. So there's a lot of opportunities for you to invite folks to come and to join you, and then to come back again and join for a guest meal. Our promise is we're going to fast, we're going to pray for those that you list on these cards. We're going to pray for them every day between now and the Your Story series. And we promise that we're going to provide an experience that you can be proud of. We're also going to be presenting the gospel. We promise we're going to be presenting the gospel. So if you've got friends, family, loved ones who need to know Jesus, listen, really what we're talking about, when we talk about your story, how many of you, God changed your story? He changed your story. He changed the story of your life. Your story was going in one direction, and you met Jesus, and he changed your story, right? And so that's really what we're talking about. And so what we want to see is God change our friend's story. We want to see their life turned around and moving in a whole new direction. And so that's what this is about. So when I first saw the cards, I was like, wait a minute, there's no blanks to write the names down on of the friends we're going to pray for. And they're like, Pastor, there's these clouds on the other side of the card in white, and you can write the names in the clouds. That's what they're there for. So what I want you to do is I want you to write down some names. Maybe the Lord's already giving you some names right now that you know that you want to invite, and maybe even as you're just sitting in the remainder of the service and you start daydreaming because I lost you in my sermon, maybe you'll daydream about people that you want to invite for church, and we'll call that Holy Spirit empowered daydreaming. And so we'll excuse that kind of daydreaming. Don't be writing your grocery list on here, but you can write down friends on here that you want to invite to come to church. This is going to be an awesome time. I'm expecting that we're going to see a harvest of souls. Will you agree with me for that? That we're going to see a harvest of souls. You're going to do your part. You're going to work, serve, invite, and we're going to see God do all the things that we can't do. How many of you know that sometimes God's just waiting on us to do our part? Have you figured that out? Sometimes just God just saying, hey, if you'll just do something that I can bless, you just take a step, do something by faith, and then I'll do my part. So this is our part. I want to really encourage you. I'm going to come back to this before we get to the end of the service so you can be filling those out. Well, we're in this series right now that we're talking about the armor of God. And so let's just quickly jump into the scripture, and we're going to talk about faith here for a little bit this morning, the shield of faith. Finally, this is in Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. How many of you know the devil's scheming? Amen. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I'm just going to stop reading there. And it says, in addition to all of this, or above all of this, or after having done all of that, there's a next step that you need to take, and that is you need to take up the shield of faith wherewith we can quench all of the fiery darts of the enemy. In our first series, we talked about, or the first sermon, we talked about the belt of truth. And we talked about the fact that we need that because the enemy is a liar. He comes at us with all kinds of lies, whether it's cultural lies that he's telling us, whether it's some individual lie like you're not good enough or you're not worthy or whatever it is. The enemy just comes at us with all kinds of lies, and we need to know the truth. And I'm not talking about your truth, my truth. I'm talking about God's truth. I'm talking about the truth of Jesus who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We need to be applying the truth to every situation in our life. That's the beginning point. And then last week, and Caleb did an awesome job filling in last week. I mean, yeah. He didn't just fill in. I mean, he did it. And talked about the breastplate of righteousness. And that's kind of like this body armor that we wear, like a bulletproof vest that protects our vital organs, particularly our heart. We talked about from Proverbs that we are to guard our heart, for it's the wellspring of life. And then he talked about the boots of the good news. And I just love the way that he really emphasized how the gospel is good news. You know, we hear enough negative news, right? There's enough bad news out there. How many of you know the world needs good news? And we've got good news. And it shouldn't be hard to tell people good news. I mean, if you had the opportunity to tell somebody that they had just won $1,000, do you think that it would be hard to tell them that they had just won $1,000? You think you'd be like, man, I just can't wait to tell them. They're going to be so excited. They're going to be so happy to hear this. I mean, this is going to change their lives. They tell them that they just won $1,000. I mean, wouldn't that be, I mean, you'd be excited about telling that. Listen, when we're talking about sharing Jesus with people, it's a whole lot better than $1,000. I mean, if you think $1,000 will change your life, let me tell you what Jesus can do. It'll change your life. It'll change everything. And so we need to be always excited about that, always ready to tell people about the good news of Jesus and what he can do for them. In fact, that's why we're going to do your stories. We're going to tell people about how Jesus can change their lives. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Oh, and I love the way that words meekness and fear are added. This isn't something that we do with some sense of superiority, like I'm so spiritual and I'm so great and I'm so awesome and I've got the answer for your life. No, we do this genuinely with a spirit of meekness, with a tenderness, with love for people, and with an understanding and a fear of God, knowing that one day we're going to give an account for whether or not we use the opportunities that the Lord gave us to share Jesus with others. And so we do this with meekness and with fear. And that brings us then to the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith wherein you're able to quench all of the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, when Paul says this to the Ephesian church, they had no problem understanding exactly what he was describing. The Ephesians were under Roman occupation at that time, and so they'd seen the Roman soldiers, and they knew all about the shields that the Romans carried. The Romans basically had two different shields. One of the shields was basically a round shield, maybe 2 to 3 foot across. It was more for a parade. It was for show. I mean, it really wasn't big enough to be as effective in battle, and that's not the shield that they used for battle. But it looked fancy, it looked impressive, etc. That's not the shield that Paul's talking about. The word shield here that Paul is talking about in the Greek, it actually is translated a door. And it's because this shield was like almost 3 foot wide, almost 5 foot tall. And so, I mean, we're talking about a big, massive shield in front of these Roman soldiers. It looked like, I mean, when they would, you know, stand in line and every one of them's got their shield and they're locked in place, I mean, it looked like a wall coming at you, this door that they had. And because when you're going into battle, you don't want this little shield, right? I mean, I'm going into battle, I want this big shield. I want something that's going to defend me, all of my body parts, from everything that the enemy tries to throw at me. Not only was it large, but they did something else to these shields. And the Ephesians, they understood exactly, again, what Paul's talking about. They would wrap the shields in leather and soak the leather in water before they would go into battle, because they knew that sometimes the enemy would shoot flaming arrows in their direction. And so not only do these shields stop the arrows, but because of these wet leather, soaked in water, it literally puts out the fire of the enemy's arrows against them. And so when Paul says, take up the shield of faith, they're like, man, we get that. We understand that. We've seen how this thing works. And he's saying, listen, this is the spiritual battle you're in, that the enemy is throwing these arrows. He's throwing these darts, these flaming darts in your direction, trying to knock you out, take you out of the battle, destroy your life, destroy your walk with the Lord. And so we say, well, what are those flaming darts? Were there things like doubt, discouragement, depression, fear, feelings of hopelessness, guilt, shame, greed, lust, pride, stubbornness? I mean, we could just go on and on and on. There's all kinds of things. And have you ever figured out how the devil knows exactly where your weak spot is? He knows where your weak spot is. And that's the one that, I mean, he keeps throwing that arrow. He keeps throwing that dart at you. But here we are told by Paul, when we're in this spiritual battle, and the enemy's bringing everything he can against us, against our homes, against our family, against our children, our grandchildren, our friends, whatever it is that the enemy's bringing against us, those flaming arrows that are being launched at us, he says, now you've got a weapon against that. You take up the shield of faith. And I love the image of taking it up. Take up the shield of faith. It's almost like, have you ever, I used to do a lot of hunting. I hadn't hunted in, 20 years probably. But I got a couple of guns, and I've got them in a gun cabinet. And so, they're on display, and you can see them, but, they're not. I'm not, walking around my house with a gun in my hand. And I think sometimes we kind of take our shield of faith, and we put it in our shield cabinet. And we're like, hey, take a look at, if you're a gun collector, maybe you bring your friends, take a look at this shotgun. This is a Browning. This is a Remington. This is so-and-so. This one has a magazine that's so big, and you kind of show it off. Oh, I got this one. This came from my grandfather, whatever the story is on that gun. And it's got a story behind it, and you tell it. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, our Christianity can become that way. And the shield of faith that we're supposed to be using in battle is kind of leaning up against the corner of our house somewhere. It's kind of sitting in the shield of faith, cabinet. And it's got a glass, front on it so everybody can see it. And we're like, oh, yeah, let me show you my shield of faith. This thing is really cool. It's got this and that, and it has this feature. Oh, look at the handle on it. This is a wonder. Look at the inscriptions on it. I got it from my grandfather. I got it, when I graduated from Bible college. It's my shield of faith. And Paul's saying, take that puppy up. Take it up. Get a hold of it. Grab that thing. Hold it. You are in a battle and you need it now. Take up this shield of faith where you can defeat the enemy. In Psalms 91, the psalmist says about God, this I declare, that he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He's my God, and I'm trusting him, for he rescues you from every trap and protects you from the fatal plague. He will shield you with his wings. They will shelter you. His faithful promises are your armor. There's this description here of our armor and our protection and being sheltered even from the fatal plague. Yeah, kind of interesting right now. How many of you know we need a shelter from the fatal plague? We need protection from fatal plague. How many of you know that it's there in the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen? And we can take up our shield of faith and say, hey, I'm not living in fear. I'm walking in faith in the name of Jesus Christ. In Psalm 46, the psalmist says, God's our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Let me tell you what the opposite of faith is. The opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is fear. Now, fear is the root of doubt. Fear is how the enemy comes in. It's the enemy of our faith. But fear is the opposite of faith. In Luke chapter 8, verse 25, The disciples have just encountered a storm, and they were afraid for their lives, and they finally called out to Jesus. He calms the storm. And listen to what Jesus says after that in Luke 8:25. He says, "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." They were living in fear, and Jesus is saying, "Hey, where's your faith?" That's the battle. That's where the battleground is. Am I listening to the lies of the enemy that's going to create fear, or am I walking in faith because I've heard what the word of the Lord says, and I know what God says, and I put that word in my heart? How many of you know where faith comes from? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's right. It comes by hearing the word of God. And so we need to be hiding the word of God in our heart, like the psalmist said, not just so that we don't sin against God, but so that our faith is built up. We need to be built up in our most holy faith. We need to walk by faith and not by sight. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we need to be growing in our faith, nurturing our faith, developing our faith, picking up that shield of faith and using it against every attack of the enemy. If there ever was a time where we need to respond with a shield of faith, I think it's now, because we're under attack, folks. Everywhere we turn, we're just under attack. You know, COVID, it seems to be trying to raise its head and gain ground again. And if we're not careful, we'll fall into a trap of fear over that. But we don't have to walk in fear. We can choose, no, I'm walking in faith. People who may lose your job, what do you do? How do you respond? Am I in fear or am I in faith? Well, it depends on what are you trusting in. Were you trusting in yourself and that job to provide for you? Or were you trusting in your Heavenly Father who was going to provide for you? Oh, you're walking in fear or you're walking in faith. Fear starts saying, oh no, what am I going to do? We're going to die. And faith says, no, let me tell you what the Word of God says. I know what I see with my natural eye, but I'm not walking by sight. I'm walking by faith, and so I know what God says, and God says, I'm going to live and not die. That's what the Word of God, I'm standing on the Word of God. The Word of the Lord tells me that God is my Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. I'm trusting that God's going to take care of me. I know what the Word of God says. It says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Word of God tells me that I am more than a conqueror in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to declare the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. I'm standing in faith, and in faith, holding up the shield of faith, I'm quenching every lie, every doubt, every dart that the enemy wants to bring against me. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. We were in primetime luncheon yesterday, and they were making the theme back to school, and so they were doing a couple of fun things. And one of the kids, an 80-year-old kid, you know, right, in primetime, one of the kids in the class made a paper airplane and threw it across the room, you know? And I'm like, oh man, now what's next? Spitballs are coming, right? Why did I bring that up? I don't know. I just thought I'd tell you a story. No. I brought that up because I want to tell you, when you got the shield of faith and you can quench every fiery dart that the enemy brings against you, the fiery darts are no more of a threat to you than an old spitball is. Amen? Amen. The enemy's got, he's a roaring lion. That's what the Bible says. He's a roaring lion. You know what some people who study the lions say? Say the lions that roar are the old lions who've lost their teeth and they really don't have anything that they can do anymore, and so they just roar. He says the ones that are the dangerous ones are the ones on the prowl. They're quiet. They're sneaking up on the enemy. I'm telling you, the devil's lost his teeth. He's lost his bite. He's got no power against you because of the overcoming work of Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. We are victorious. Hallelujah. All right, so let's wrap this thing up. Give me about 5 minutes, and I want to share with you three quick truths that the devil doesn't want you to know. But when you know these truths, you can hold these things up with faith, and you can defeat everything that he comes against you. So here we go. Truth number one is that the Lord is always with us, and he'll never forsake us. The Lord is always with you. I know one of the big lies that the enemy wants to tell you is that you're all by yourself. You're all alone. Nobody's there, not even God's there. That's one of the lies that the enemy will tell you. But God says, no, I'm always there. I'm always with you. Psalm 46, the psalmist says that God's an ever-present help in trouble. Hebrews 13 and 5, the writer there says, the Lord himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Jesus says that I will never forsake you. I'm always with you, even to the end of the world. And I even sent my comforter who's not just with you, but he's in you. I'm telling you, God is with us all the time. Whether you feel it, sense it, or not, he is there. Truth number two, to follow up on that, is the Lord protects us. God's not just there, kind of sitting over in the corner going, well, I wonder how he's going to do. You know, I wonder if he's going to make it or not. Well, let's just see. This could be fun to watch. No. Listen, the Lord is there with you to help you overcome, to protect you from everything that the enemy throws at you. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 3 says, but the Lord is faithful and he will protect you from the evil one. He's faithful. I like the word faithful because faithful means always faithful. There's no almost faithful. You know, if you're in a relationship with someone, you don't want it to be an almost faithful relationship. You don't want it to be a mostly faithful relationship. I mean, it's like, mostly faithful, we need to talk, right? Listen, when God says, I am faithful, that means all the time, 100%, you can count on me. God is there to protect us. And I mean, the story, the Bible is filled with stories, talking about your story and what we're going to be doing over the next couple of weeks. The Bible is filled with all kinds of stories of people that God was faithful. I mean, you pick out your favorite. You like David and Goliath? Do you like Daniel in the lion's den? Do you like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going through the fiery furnace? Do you like the story about how God opens up the Red Sea and lets the nation of Israel walk across, and then he destroys the Egyptians behind them? I mean, what's your favorite story? There's this one cool story in the Old Testament about the prophet Elisha. And the king, Aram, he was one of the enemy kings of a foreign land. He was coming against Israel, trying to defeat Israel in battle. And every time he would show up, it was like Israel was there prepared. It's like they knew where they were coming. They knew that they were coming. And they were always ready. It's like, how do they know? And finally somebody says, I'll tell you how they know. Israel's got a secret weapon. His name's Elisha. He's a prophet. He hears from God. He knows exactly what's going on, and he's warning them about your next move. And so Aaron says, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take him out. Let's just go ahead and take him. Where's he at? Well, he's in such and such a city. So during the night, they surround the city so that they can take out this one guy. They wake up the next morning, and Elisha's servant walks out and looks, and he sees all of the armies of the enemy all around him. He runs back in. Elisha, we're in trouble, man. I mean, the enemy has got us surrounded. And Elisha's just like, Lord, well, help him to see. In fact, he says, they that are with us are more than they that are with them. And he prays this, Lord, just open his eyes and let him see. And so he does, opens the servant's eyes, and all of a sudden he sees that everywhere around him is just filled with angels and flaming horses. And I mean, it's just this incredible, the army of God was there at their defense. I want to tell you, sometimes we can't see it. You don't really know that it's there, but I'm telling you, God is always there, and he's there to take care of you and to protect you. And no matter what kind of warfare you're in right now, what kind of battle is that you're in right now, I know the enemy wants to tell you he's going to take you out, but I'm telling you, God's there and he is protecting you. And then there's a third truth that we've got to know, and that is that the Lord causes all things to work together for our good. The Lord causes all things to work together for our good. It doesn't say that all things are good that happen in your life, but God's working it all together for your good. And that's kind of a hard truth to swallow sometimes. I mean, it gives us great hope, except for the fact when you're right in the middle of the battle and you want things to be going your way and you don't really see it happening that way. And you start to kind of question God, like, God, where are you? And God, are you really on my side? And God, why are you letting this kind of thing happen in my life? I mean, all of us have been there. All of us have been there. We're like, okay, God, I don't get this. It just doesn't make sense. Why did that godly person die? We've been praying for him. I know you're a healing God. Why did you let that happen? God, I don't understand. I've been faithfully tithing. Why would I suddenly lose my job? I just don't get that. It just doesn't make sense, Lord. I've been a faithful friend to this person for so long, and they turned their back on me, and they did this thing. I don't understand why that would happen. I want to tell you, I don't understand either. I don't understand either. If you're going through one of those moments right now, I don't have an exact answer to tell you exactly why God's letting it happen. But here's one thing that I know from the depth of who I am. I know God is working all things together for our good. To those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, God is working it together. You say, I can't see it. I know you can't see it. You don't have to see it, because God's not asking you to work it all together for your good. He's saying, I'm going to work it all together. You just trust me. Let me close with this story. I just read it this past week. A guy was invited to come to a men's breakfast. And so they asked him, they said, would you pray over the meal before we eat the breakfast? And so the guy said, sure, I'm happy to pray for you. And so he begins his prayer. He says, Lord, you know, I don't like buttermilk. You know, you can kind of see the eye open up, one eye like, what did he just say? Did I misunderstand him? And then he keeps on praying. He says, and Lord, you know I don't like flour. He did say buttermilk and flour, right? And Lord, you know I don't like lard. And they're going, what? We invited the wrong person to pray today. But then he says, but Lord, you know I love me some good homemade biscuits. And I thank you that you can take the things in my life that I don't like. You can take buttermilk and flour and lard. And when you finish mixing it up, it becomes something that's a real blessing, something that's good for me. And so thank you, Lord, for this meal. Amen. Would you stand with me? The shield of faith. We take up the shield of faith. We're not putting it in our cabinet. This isn't just something for display. This isn't decoration to hang on your wall, because you are in a battle. The enemy's bringing his fiery darts against you, but I'm telling you, we got that shield of faith. It's soaked in water. It's quenching everything that the enemy throws in our direction. We stand in faith. Faith that comes from hearing the word of God, trusting in the word of God. And we know that there's some things that are true. Some things like God is always there with us, and God is protecting us. God is working all things together for our good. Lord, I just thank you today. Lord, that you have equipped us and given us what we need to be victorious, more than conquerors in this spiritual battle. Thank you, Lord, for the belt of truth. Thank you for the breastplate of righteousness. Thank you that our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And thank you, Lord, that you've given us the shield of faith that we can take up and quench every fiery dart that the enemy's throwing against us. God, I just pray over this congregation today, those that are watching online, Lord, those that are in a battle, Lord, those who are leaning toward fear instead of faith. Lord, I pray that you steady them in their walk with you. Remind them of the word of God and what you said about them. And Lord, enable us to begin to speak with faith the word of God into our lives and into every situation that we encounter. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I'm going to do one more thing before we close this morning. I want you to grab those cards again. Anybody been taking notes on your card while I've been preaching today? Anybody scribbled another name down, or maybe the Holy Spirit dropped another name into your mind? I want you to write down the names, as many as you can. If you need more than five places, flip it over, write it on the back, however many names God gives you. If you need to grab a second card, grab a second card. I want to ask you to do this. Listen, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. This is an important time right now. I've just been talking about the shield of faith. One of the big things that Satan tries to do is he lies to us to cause us to doubt. When I begin to share about this, I just can believe that the enemy started trying to whisper lies into some of your minds. He might have been trying to tell you, well, I don't know that this is going to work. Or maybe there was somebody that you thought of, I ought to write their name down. And the enemy said, they're never going to come. You wrote their name down the last time and you invited them and they didn't come. Maybe you wrote their name down two or three times over the last couple of years and they didn't come. So it's just a waste of time. Don't waste your time. Don't even write their name down. Don't even say you're going to pray for them. I don't know who you are, but I can just imagine that across this room, maybe there's a lot of people who those kind of thoughts went through your mind. I'm not even sure if I'm going to do this or not. I want to encourage you to take up the shield of faith today. And by faith, I want you to write down some names because I know what the Word of God says. The Word of God says it's not the will of God that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know what the will of God is for your friends, and your neighbors, and your family. And I'm asking you to take up the shield of faith today and fight for them, and fight for their salvation. So if you've written those names down, what I want us to do, if you haven't, write them quickly. We're going to come and add, we're going to just come drop these, just this one here, it's got five names on it. Somebody from the first service has put it in. I want you to come and bring these up front and then just stay here at the front and we're going to pray a prayer over these. But then when you get ready to leave, I want you to all go over to this table on this side of the room. And by faith, I want you to sign up and say, I'm going to serve in some way so that I can help my church to be more effective at winning lost people the kingdom. So would you come and bring your cards and just place them at the front, and then we're going to close with a word of prayer over all of these right now. Thank you so much, all of you who are bringing those cards. Wow, this is awesome. This is awesome. Maybe some of you are still trying to think about who you want to add on that card. Just pray over that even right now. Maybe if all you've got is one name, if all you've got is one name, bring that one card. Bring that one name up with that card. And then just stay up here at the front. Just stay up at the front. We're just going to pray together, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are there some others? I see these people with pens in your hand, pencils, you're still writing down some names. Yeah, just place it right here. Just pause just a moment longer. I know there's some folks that are still coming. Just come on, bring those cards. We want to include you in this prayer. Listen, if you don't get included in this prayer, we're going to be praying some more prayers. But I want to include you if we can. Amen. Oh, this is beautiful. So would you just join me right now? Would you just stretch your hand out toward these cards, whether you're still in your seat or whether you're standing here at the front? Would you just stretch out your hands this way? And come on. I want you to pray for this person like it's your best friend. I want you to pray for this person like it's your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister that's lost, like it's your son or your daughter. Would you pray for them right now? Father, Lord, we know it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, we believe in a real hell, but we also believe in a real heaven. And Lord, we believe in the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. And Lord, that if any man will put his faith and trust in you, that they can be born again. Lord, that they can have a new story, that they can write a new story for their life. Lord, that's what we want to see happen. New stories written, Lord. And so, God, I'm asking that every name that's written on these cards, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, we're praying for them. We're calling them into the kingdom. We're declaring that they're going to live and not die, that they're going to be born again, that they're going to serve Jesus and not the enemy. Lord, you're going to change their life. Lord, we declare that over everyone. Lord, we're asking you to give us the opportunity to reach out to them, to invite them. And, Lord, that we're going to do our part. So, Lord, we pray for ourselves. We ask you, God, Holy Spirit, anoint us and use us and empower us and enable us, Lord, so that we can do what you've called us to do, to share the good news of your story so that others can have their story changed. And I thank you, Lord, for doing it. Lord, give us 4 tremendous weeks of harvest. The men and women, children coming into the kingdom of God every week. And Father, for that we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you. Come back and be with us next week here at Spirit Life Church. If you need prayer, come to the front. Our prayer team will meet you here and we'll pray for you. God bless you. We'll see you next week at Spirit Life.